Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lam Gimel and Aleph, Mishnah Hey, discussing here the individual had been zocheh to bring the ketoret. In Mishnah Dalet, we discussed that he brought in a kaf and a bazich that had the ketoret inside of it, and he was going to take that full and piled up into the heichal. In Mishnah Hey, it explains, Misha zacha b'machta, nata machta hakesef. So whoever was zocheh in the machta took the machta hakesef. Now, who was Zochen the Machta Kesef? Over here, we didn't have any lot or lottery. So who is this individual? So most of the Rishonim believe that this individual is the person to the right of whoever was Zochen the Ketoret. Whoever was Zochen the Ketoret, the person to his right becomes his right-hand man. And therefore, he helps him out with the process of the Ketoret, which is the person over here, Misha Zacha B'Machta. The other possibility, which is the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, says that whoever is Zochen in Shumat Adeshin, he's the one who does the machta over here. So then he natal machta hakesef. He takes the silver pan, v'alad rosh hamizbeach. He goes onto the top of the mizbeach. Upana et hagichalim elech ve'elech. He moves the coals from side to side v'chata, and then he takes out coals from inside of the pile or pyre. We know that there's the marachashniyah shel ketoret, which we discussed before. They had the second pyre that was for the ketoret. So that pyre, he moves the coals around and takes from those coals. Now over here in the Mishnah it says, min hamuchalot abimiyot, which is probably incorrect. That is probably lifted from the same memra that is by the person who does the Trumat HaAdeshin. By the Trumat HaAdeshin, there's a demand that you get from the muchalot abimiyot, from the used up coals that are always on the inside. There you have to take those coals out. Over here we need live coals, because they're going to put the ketoret on these coals. So therefore, the mukhlot apnimiyot, the inner coals that are already extinguished, they're not valuable. On the other hand, the outer coals, which are also not hot, are also not valuable. So therefore, they push them around, and he takes from the coals that are right there in the middle that are very hot, and he puts them onto the silver pan. Then Yarad, he comes down from his mizbeach, v'yiran l'toch shel zahav, pours the coals from the silver pan into a golden pan. Now, the silver pan holds 4 kav in it, and the golden pan holds 3 kav in it. So when he pours from the silver pan into the golden pan, nit pazir mimenu kikav gichalim. Roughly a kav of gichalim fall away because it has a kav less the volume, and therefore those fall to the side. Vayu mechabdan liyama. And he used to sweep those into the sewage system of the Mikdash. The Amat Amayim is the channel of water that flowed through the Mikdash that came from Ein Etam, the live spring that brought water to the Mikdash, and then flowed out into the Kidron Valley. They used to sweep it into there. That would extinguish the coals and send it out. The Rosh over here points out that even though the coals were inside of a kli, and we know that a kli is mikadesh, he wants to suggest that the silver kli was not a kli sharet, and therefore the coals were not nitkadesh, and that's why they could sweep them away into the ama, opposed to the gold pan, which was kadosh, and it was a kli sharet. And that's why the coals that fell away from the silver one were not problematic, because they were never nitkadesh be kli sharet. The Gemara in Yoma tells us why they first did it with a silver pan and then with a golden pan. Is that because the Torah is chasam umanam shel Yisrael? The Torah has mercy, rachamim, on Bnei Yisrael's money. And gold, if you stuck it into the coal pile, would burn up the gold and eventually it would ruin it. And they'd have to keep replacing it. So they use the silver pan to take out the coals from inside the pyre. And then only once they've cooled off a little bit, then they pour those coals into the golden pan. B'Shabbat. On Shabbat, where the kav gichalim that falls away, you could not sweep into the amat amayim, you could not sweep it into the sewage system, because that would be extinguishing michabeh, which is a malacha on Shabbat that you wouldn't be allowed to do. So instead, on Shabbat, ayah kufeh ala psachter. They covered it over with this large cauldron. Psachter ayta kli gadol. This psachter was a large cauldron, machzeket letech, that held a letech is 15 sa'ah, or half a kur. Ushtei shashrota yuba. They had 2 chains on it. Kachu moshech ba, one that they pulled it with, viorei, then take it down. Vachachu ochez ba milamalon, one that they grabbed from on top to stop it from tipping over. Shreel shalot tit gal gel. Ushlosha dvreim aita mishameshet. This cauldron served in the Mikdash with 3 things. Kofino tal gabi gichalim. One of them, which we just mentioned now, was turned over the coals in order to prevent the kohanim from stopping on the coals and singeing their feet on Shabbat, because the coals could not be taken to the water in order to extinguish them, so they left them in place and covered them over. Well, a sheretz b'Shabbat, also a sheretz, they found a dead sheretz in the Mikdash on Shabbat, which would cause tumah. They couldn't move it on Shabbat because it was a problem of mukseh, even though generally there's ein shvut b'Mikdash. the dinei derabanan don't apply in the mikdash. Nevertheless, we do see that there are certain derabanans that do apply in the mikdash. This is one of them. The issur of muktzah with the gabei sheretz on Shabbat, and therefore, if they found a sheretz on Shabbat in order to prevent the tumah from spreading, they used to turn the psachter upside down on top of it to stop people from engaging with that sheretz. Umaridim ba'at adeshin magabei mizbeach, and they used to take off when they did the hotzat adeshin. They had to take all the ashes off the tapuach and the mizbeach. They used to place it into this large cauldron, and that's what they were speaking about before, the two chains. They used to fill it up with the ashes, and then they used to drag it down the ramp. So one guy would be pulling the chain from in front and dragging it down, but the problem is when you're going down, it's a large cauldron with a rounded bottom, it could tip over. So they had a person in the back holding the chain to stabilize the cauldron so it wouldn't flip over when he was pulling it down the ramp. So that's what this psachter was used for. So then he gil, the individual who took these coals, plus the individual carrying the ktoret, so that's why it's in plural, ben ulam la mizbeach. When they reach between the ulam and the mizbeach, meaning on the western side of the mizbeach, heading into the heichal, the ulam is the front area of the heichal, natal echad men ha-megrifo, he took one of the shovels that were there, vizorka ben ulam mizbeach, he throws it on the ground, he throws it far away, and it makes a loud noise. En adam shomea kol chavero b'Yerushalayim mikol ha-megrifa. It was so loud, the noise that he made when he threw or tossed this shovel, that people could not hear themselves speaking to their friends and conversing inside of Yerushalayim. There were three reasons why they threw the shovel to make this noise. Number one, he sees that these brothers, the Kohanim, are going into the Eichal to bow down, comes to join them. Ben Levi, and a Ben Levi that hears this sound, that they're beginning to gather together to begin the shir of that day, and he joins them. The last thing is that the head of that mamad of that day would put the tmeim on the eastern side. It's machlok of the Rishonim, what we're speaking about here. The Rambam says, the Rosh HaMamad, Mamadot Boto Shabbat, meaning that he's talking about the Mamadot, which are the Israelim that come to represent Klal Yisrael up in the Mikdash. The Rosh HaMamad, when he heard this sound, he used to bring the Mitzorayim that were already Tahor from their Tzaraat. He used to bring them to the eastern gate, so they'll be ready to have their Tara process done to them afterwards and have the sprinkling of the Dam and bring the Asham. So the Rambam claims in the Perashah Mishdayot that we're talking about the Mitzoraim here that were brought by the Shar HaMizrach to be readied for the process of Tahara. On the other hand, the Rosh and some of the other Rishonim say this refers to the Kohanim HaTmeim. Kohanim that were from that Beit Av or that Mishmar that were Tmeim, he used to stand them up at the Shar Mizrach. The Gemara in other places says there were two reasons for that. One is Chad Mipnei HaChashad, because if they did not show up to the Avodah, people would think that they were lazy and they're just not coming. But by being there, people would understand that they were Tmeim, and they would see that they weren't going to the Avodah, not by choice, but because they were Tmeim. The other one is Mipnei HaBusha, to embarrass them that they became Tmei, and they were unable to perform the Avodah and the Mikdash, they did not take care of themselves to be properly to horror in time, and therefore to be mevayesh them, they used to place them in the Shar Mizrach, so everybody could see that they were Tmeim. So that's a machloket Rishonim about which Tmeim we're speaking about, whether it's the Mitzorim or the Kohanim. Right, now we begin the next parak. Hecheilu olim b'ma'alot ulam. These two individuals began to climb the stairs of the ulam. There were 12 steps that went from the floor of the Azara up to the ulam. Meshezachu b'dishun mizbeach apnimi v'amnorah. Remember earlier in the Masechta, we discussed there were two individuals. One individual who had gone in to clear out the Mizbeach HaZahav from its ashes, and the other one who was clearing out the menorah. So they hayu maktamim lifnehem. They went in ahead of them. They raced in ahead of them. Mishu zachah b'dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi nichnas v'talat tateni. The one who had cleared off the Mizbeach HaZahav, remember he had left his basket there. Now he goes in and grabs the basket. V'shtachava v'yatza. Bows down, and he leaves. And the Ishtachavaya is whenever you've completed a full avodah, you bow down and then you go out. Just like an Eved that works for a king, whenever he finishes the command of the king or when he's done the king, he bows down as if to indicate that he's completed his work and he leaves. So this individual who before had cleared off the Mizbeach comes back in, takes the teni to take it out to place next to the ramp of the Mizbeach and the Beit HaDeshen. But before he leaves, he bows down and then he goes out. The one who was zocheh in the clearing out of the menorah, nichnasu matza shtei neirot ma'arviim dolukim. He found the two western candles still alit, said before that here in the Masechet Tamid, they believe that the menorah sat east-west, and therefore the first five Yadan were on the western side, and the two left over were the most eastern candles. They were called the Ner HaMaravi, because it was one over from the one from the east, that makes it the Ner HaMaravi. So here we're talking about the two eastern candles at that point. So these two candles were still burning. If we found them both lit, Metashinet the Mizrachi takes out the eastmost eastern one, Umaniach the Maravi the lake, and leaves the western one still burning. So that's where he lit the rest of the candles when it came to the afternoon lighting of the menorah. Matso Shikaba, if he found that they had extinguished both of them, Midashno, and he clears it out, Madikom Mizbecholah, he relights it from the Mizbecholah, take the fire from there, and light the wicks from the Mizbecholah, Mizbechachitzon. Again, this relates to what we said before, that in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, the Ner HaMaravi remained lit the entire time, so they didn't have to clear it out. After that time period when they no longer had that miracle that the Ner HaMaravi was always lit, then sometimes the Ner HaMaravi also extinguished and they had to relight it. Now, when he lit them is subject to Machlokes Rishonim that we discussed in the past. According to the Rambam, it lit him right away. According to the Rambam, the Ner HaMaravi had to be dolek all the time, and the mitzvah of Hadlakah applies all day. As opposed to the Rosh over here, and many of the Rishonim, including Rashi, who believes that you only had to light them in the afternoon. The only requirement to have them lit was overnight. And therefore, when it says, U'madlikin otam, is not now. He wasn't madlik them now. He prepares them to be lit, but he was madlik otam ben arabayim. In the afternoon, that's when he lit them again. So Natala Takuz, Mimala Ashniya, remember before he left the pitcher full of the ashes on the second stair of the step stool in front of the menorah. So now he takes it, Vishtachava Vyatza, and then he bows down and leaves again because he completed his Abudah. So now Mish is Zechabe Machta, the one who took the coals in the pan, Tziberat HaKalim Al Gabi HaMizbech. So now he places all the coals on the Mizbech Zav, Viradadan Bishulei HaMachta. And he uses the base of the pan to smooth them out and spread them out over the top of the entire Mizbech Zav, so they wouldn't be piled up but spread out. He was finished with Zavodah, he bows down, and he leaves as well. The one who was Zochen the Ktoret, you know, tell it the Bazech mitocha kaf. He took out the Bazech that was inside the kaf, and the Krovo. He gives it to his beloved or his relative, someone who he picked to do the Avodat HaKtoret with him. Nit Pazer Mimenu Letocho, had some of it spilled out from the Bazech into the kaf. They pour it into now his fist, because he brings a fistful of Toret. Now, as the Rosh points out, not only do you pour the stuff that's spilled out, but you also pour the main Toret that's found inside of the Bazech. You pour all of that into his hand, into his fistful. Umelamdimoto. And then they had to teach him what to do. They had to teach him because, remember, the lots that were thrown for the Ktoret were all Chadashim, all new people. Since it was all new people, nobody knew what to do. So they had to teach him what to do each time. Do not begin to put the Ktoret on the coals from close to you, because otherwise you're going to burn yourself. If you spread the Ktoret from close to you and slowly move your hand away, as the Ktoret burns on the coals, it's going to singe your hand. You're going to burn yourself. So you need to start from the further side and move back towards yourself. So started to place the Ktoret on top of it, spread it out, and then he goes out. Lo ya maktir maktir. The person who was zochen the Ktoret to place the Ktoret on the coals, he would not place the Ktoret on the coals. Ad she mimune omer lo hekter, till he gets the instruction from the one who was appointed to say time to put it on. B'mayak kohen gadol, if it was the kohen gadol who was doing the ma'aseh Ktoret that day, mimune omer lo, he has to do it in a manner of respect, which is ishi kohen gadol hekter. He doesn't just give the command hekter, place it on the mizbeach now. Rather, he says ishi, Mister the kohen gadol, please put it on the mizbeach now. Pershuam biktir v'ishtachve v'yatzah. Everybody leaves, and then he is maktir the ktoret, bows down and leaves. As you know, when it comes to the haktarat haktoret, nobody's allowed to be in the area where the ktoret is brought. We learn this from the Maisei Avodah on Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippurim, it says that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, lifnim to put the ktoret on, it says that no person can be with him in that area. So there's no person that's allowed to be in the Heichal at the time that the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai niftin to put on the Ktoret. The same is true, we learn from that, of the daily Ktoret. In the daily Ktoret, but the daily Ktoret was not placed in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but rather in the Kodesh. So therefore, there was nobody allowed to be ben olam lamizbeach. No Kohen, nobody was allowed to be ben olam lamizbeach when the Ktoret was placed on. It was done, b'chashai was done, in a private manner. That's what we said before, when they threw the shovel, that was a siman for everybody to know that he was going in, and they also knew not to enter that area, ben ulam lemizbeach. And that's what it says over here, Pershu'am, that everybody left, Victir, and then he does the Akhtara. Nobody's allowed to be in that area when he does the Akhtara on the Mizbeach Zav. Then when he completes the Akhtara, Ishtachaveh v'yatsa. He bows down, and then he leaves. Zman Shekohen Gadol Nichnas. After he had put the Ketoret on, there was this practice of going into the Echal and bowing down before Hashem. The Rosh says, and we know that this is true, that a Kohen is not allowed to go ben ulam lemizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, or even into the Echal, unless they have a reason. There's no such thing as what's called bi'arik reikanit. You can't come empty-handed in that area. If you're performing avodah, if you're working, then you're permitted to be there. If you're not working, you're not allowed to be in that area. So over here, we have a case where the Kohen Gadol is going to bow down without anything in his hands. So the Rosh claims that that's because Ishtachavaya is a form of avodah. Bowing down is a type of avodah, and therefore, the Kohen Gadol is able to enter at this point in time. So the man shokoyin nichas tishtachavos shlosha ochzim bo. He has three helpers when he bows down. Echad b'mino, echad b'smalo, one is right side, one is left side, to help him out after he's bowed down. Echad b'avanim tovot, they want to carry the precious stones, meaning the ephod, which was very heavy. They would lift it up with him so that it would not strain on him when he got up. Kevin shishama muneh kol raglav shokoyin gadol shiyotzeh. When the mimuneh, the person, the gabai, was in charge, heard the Kohen Gadol that was leaving, meaning that he heard him walking out of the Echal, bialo et haparochet, he used to hold up the parochet, the curtain that was there for tzniyut, that was at the door of the Echal, as well as the door of the Ulam, and then nichnas v'shtachaveh v'yatza, then he, the menuneh, goes in and bows down and comes out, nichnasu echav ha-kohenim v'shtachaveh v'yatzu. And then after that, the remainder of the Kohenim can run in and bow down. Again, this is a form of a vodah that they all went in and bowed down and then left. Again, whether when it says here nichnas v'ishtachaveh, whether that refers to the Kohen Gadol or to the Mimuneh, either one is true. It's either the Kohen Gadol or the Mimuneh. Then afterwards, the remainder of the Kohenim would come down and bow down. Then bow amdu al malot ulam. Then they would come and stand on the stairs of the ulam. Amdu al rishonim ledarom. The first ones that came out would stand on the southern side. And achem haKohenim v'chamisha kelim bi'adam. The drum achem haKohenim, they used to stand on the southern side of their brothers, the Kohenim. Chamisha kelim bi'adam, and they have the five kelim of the avodah that they had performed in their hands. Hateni bi'ad echad. The basket from the one who cleared off the mizbeach zahav is in the hand of one of them. Hakuz bi'ad echad. The pitcher that was used to clear out the menorah is in the hand of one of them. V'machta bi'ad echad. The pan for the ketoret was in the hand of one of them. V'abozech. And then the holder for the ketoret was bi'ad echad. V'kaf v'kuziyav v'acharad. And then the kaf and the kisui of the kaf was in the one who went to help the one who brought the ketoret. And those five that came out, again, the one who was the most important was the makriv ketoret. And safon and north, we know in the Mikdash is more kodesh. So therefore, as they exited one by one, they stayed on the southern side. So those that were the first, the dishunam mizbeach zahav, dishunam menorah, were first, they stood the most to the south. And the ones who did with the ketoret are more to the north. And they stand there, barchu et ha'am bracha achat. They gave bracha of Birkat Kohanim at that time. In the Mikdash, it was done as a single bracha. But in the Medina, in the Gvulim, chutz the Mikdash, it was done as three brachot. That's what we have in our Birkat Kohanim today, which is that we break it into three brachot, and we answer amen between each one of the psukim of Birkat Kohanim. But in Mikdash, bracha achat. In Mikdash is one bracha. They brought it all together. B'Mikdash ayomrim et Hashem kichtavo. So over here we have what's found in the Mishnah in Sota. Obviously it's relevant in the Seder HaAvodah here, so that's why it's brought down here. The main sugyot are in Sota with Birkat Kohanim. But in Mikdash, they used to say Hashem kichtavo, the way that it is written. The Yudke Vavke, they used to say it as it's written, not the way we pronounce it. U'b'midina b'kinu yav. In the Medina, chutz the Mikdash, like we do, instead of saying Yudke Vavke and pronouncing it that way, we say Ad Hashem. Instead of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's what they do when they did Birkat Kohanim outside of the Mikdash. Medina, Kohanim nosim et yedeihem keneged katfehem. That outside of the Mikdash, when the Kohanim are nosik kapehem, they raise their hands to the level of their shoulders, which is what Kohanim do today when they are doing Birkat Kohanim. Umikdash al gabei roshem. In the Mikdash, they have to raise their hands, their fingers above their heads, and that's because in the Mikdash, the Shechinah was shoreh on the hands of the Kohanim. And because of that, they had to raise their hands above their heads, so the Shechinah will be above their heads, which was proper etiquette. Chutz mi Kohen Gadol, except the Kohen Gadol, she'im magbi'at yadav ma'ala min ha-tzitz, that he did not raise his hands above the tzitz, because the tzitz has Kodesh Lashem written on it, And since that Kedusha is there, then it's okay to have that be above the hands of the Kohen, or it's also not appropriate that the Kohen raises his hands above that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Kohen Gadol, Magbiat Yadav Lamala Min HaTzitz. Even the Kohen Gadol brought his hands above the Tzitz, because again, the Shekhinah is going to be sure on his hands, and that's okay, above the Kodesh Lashem, the Tzitz. Shenamar, how does he know that? He knows that from Parshat Shmini, when Aaron finishes the Avodah, it says, it comes out, Vayisa Aaron et Yadav El Am Vayivarchem. Aaron raises up his hands, and he gives a bracha to the Am. So the assumption being, Vayisa, that he raised his hands, that he raised them above his head, even though he's wearing the Tzitz. So from that, Rabbi Yehuda says that even the Kohen Gadol is Magbia Yadav Mi'al Rocho. Zman Kohen Gadol Rotelaktir. When the Kohen Gadol wants to be the one who puts the Korban Tamid on the Mizbeach, he was allowed to do that. He used to walk up the ramp, Vasgan Mimino, and the assistant was on his right side. He gave him Machatzita Kevish. When he reached the halfway point on the ramp, Echazasgan Mimino, the Sgan grabs a hold of him, Ve'aleu, and he helps him to go up the ramp, because it's a long ramp, and it's difficult for the Kohen Gadol with all the begadim and everything that he's carrying to get up there. Therefore, when he got halfway up and he started to tire, the Sgan helped him continue up to the top. Boshilo Arishon, and then when he gets to the top, the first one who was Zoche, in bringing the Nitachim, the pieces, the quarters of the Karban Olah from the bottom of the Kivish to the top of the Kivish, technically those individuals were going to put them on the Mizbeach. But since the Kohen Gadol has the right to do any avodah in the Mikdash, over here the Kohen Gadol enters and decides that he wants to do it. So what they do is, the individual who was the first to bring it up, which is the one with the Rosh with the Regel, he brings them up, and he gives them to the Kohen Gadol. So Hashilo Rishon Rosh V'Regel, V'Samach Aleihem. He does smicha. The Kohen Gadol places his hands on them, does smicha on them, V'Zorkan, and then he throws them onto the Mizbeach. Hoshita Sheni Rishon. They do like a fireman's line, which is that then the second individual, who has the Shtei Yadayim, he gives them to the first individual who's holding the Rosh and the Regel, and he leaves, and then the first one passes it to the Kohen. So now the Kohen Gadol, V'Samach Aleihem, he puts again the smicha on them, V'Zorkan, he throws them onto the Mizbeach. Nishmata Sheni, the number two leaves, v'halach lo. V'kachayu mashitim lo. And that's how they passed the Mishar Kol Evarim. Each individual came up, would pass it to the Rishon, and then the Rishon would pass it to the Kohen Gadol. That was kavod for the Kohen Gadol. V'hu somech aleihem, he places his hands on each of them, v'zorkan, and he throws them onto the Mizbeach. Ushman shu rotzeh, and if the Kohen Gadol was too much for him, or he didn't want to throw him on the Mizbeach, hu somech, then he places his hands on them, v'acharim zorkam, and others do the throwing onto the Mizbeach for him. Now, as far as the smicha here, we know that smicha only applies, number one, to live animals. So over here, the Kohen Gadol is doing smicha on something that is already dead, something that are pieces, so we don't do smicha on things that are already dead. The other thing is there's no smicha b'tzibur. There are only two smichot that the tzibur does. So over here, you have neither of them. It's not the two places where the tzibur does smicha, and it's something that is already dead. Therefore, it's not a real smicha. So why is the Kohen Gadol doing smicha over here? The Gemara tells us in Menachot that this was just the smicha mitzad kavod. Because it's kavod the Kohen Gadol. It wasn't part of the avodah. It was simply part of the kavod of Kohen Gadol that he should have some involvement in the Korban Olah. So he does a smicha here, a smicha that is not considered to be avodah. And so then the Kohen Gadol goes, when he goes around the Mizbeach, he goes to the right, because we know he always turns to the right, so therefore he goes to the Dromit Mizrachit. Remember, he came up the ramp on the southern side of the Mizbeach. To turn to the right will be eastward, so he ends up at the southeastern corner. Then as he continues around the Mizbeach, he'll move from the southeastern corner to the northeastern corner. Then he turns. It's really a left turn, but what we call going around when you're facing the Mizbeach, it means you're turning to the right. But he's going to make a left turn now, and then end up at the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and then he returns towards the ramp and ends up at the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. The southwestern corner of the Mizbeach is where they did the libations, where they did the Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin. So what we did after the Akrovat HaTamid, they did the Nisuch HaYayin. So the Kohen Gadol circumscribes the Mizbeach, he walks around the Mizbeach, until he gets to that side, in order to do the Nisuch HaYayin. Now remember, we had the Mishnah in Menachot tells us that anybody who went up to the Mizbeach went to the right and went around the Mizbeach. Chutz, there were two exceptions to that. That someone was bringing up the Olat Ha'ov and someone was bringing up Nisuch HaYayin. Someone who brings up Nisuch HaYayin goes to the left right away to go to the Keren Marvit Jomit, to the southwestern corner to do the Nisuch HaYayin. Why? Because if he went around the Mizbeach, the smoke from the pyres would get into the wine and ruin the wine. So therefore they went directly to that left and went to that corner right away. Over here the Kohen Gadol goes all the way around. The reason being, the Kohen Gadol is not carrying the wine. Because he's the Kohen Gadol, the person who has the Nisuch HaYayin, who's Zocheh, and the Nisuch HaYayin is going to bring the wine up, and either he's going to do the libation, or if he meets the Kohen Gadol there, the Kohen Gadol is going to do it. So the Kohen Gadol is not carrying the wine, therefore he goes all the way around on the right. So Nanu Lo Yayin Nasich, so he gets the wine to pour the libation, Askan Omed Ala Karen, the Skan is standing there by the Karen, by this southwestern corner, the Sudarim Biado, and he has handkerchiefs, flags in his hand, Shnei Kohanim Omdim Ala Shulchan HaChalavim. So there were two Kohanim that were standing down below by the tables of the Chalavim. Remember, there were two tables to the western side of the ramp. That one where the Kli Sharet was a silver table where the Kli Sharet were put. And there was a table of Shayish where they put the Chalavim before they placed them on the Mizbeach to keep them cool. Ushtei Chatzotzot B'yadam, and they had two trumpets in their hand. Takov Ariu V'takov. They blew the trumpets. Tkiyah Shua Tkiyah. Bohu Amdu Eitzel Ben Arzah. And they stood next to Ben Arza, who we had seen earlier in the Masechta. He was the person who crashed the cymbals. Echad mimino, echad mismolo, one to his right, one to his left. Shachal v'nasech, when the Kohen Gadol bowed down or started to lean over to pour the libations, v'nif hasgan besudarim. Then the Sgan Kohen waves the flags, v'ekish Ben Arza b'tzaltzal, Ben Arza crashes the cymbals, v'dibro alivim b'shir, and then the Levim begin to shir. Remember, ain't shir ela b'yayin. The Rashbam brings that as our source for saying Kiddush Aliyayin on Friday night. That ain't Shir Ela B'Yayin. This is it. The Shir in the Mikdash was done when they did the Nisuch HaYayin. They were Igil the Perek. When they got to the Perek, Takuv Ishtachavu Ha'am Al Kol Perek V'Perek. Every time they got to a Perek, they broke down the Tehillim that they said, the Shirah of the Yom, into three parts. And each time they got to a part, they blew the shofar and the am bowed down. And every perek they blew the shofar or the chatzotzrot, and every tkiyah there was a shtachavaya. Zehu seder atamid, vadat beit elokeinu. This is the seder of the avod of the tamid in the beit hamikdash. Yiratzon shivne b'meru b'yameinu amen. Yiratzon that it should be rebuilt speedily in our time. Just with regards to that, we know that there were 21 times that they blew the shofar in the mikdash on a daily basis. That was both the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. So we know that they broke the Shirah, the Tehillim, down into three parts. And we said that on each part they blew a Tkiyah Shua Tkiyah. 3 times 3 is 9, and 9 is 18. Plus the first three that they blew here
for the Pticha Tashiarim, when they opened up the gates in the morning.
That will get you to the 21 that they did every day in the Mikdash. Now, Shir Shayulim Vim Bevet Mikdash. This is the Shir of the Vim in the Mikdash. This Mishnah is found in Rosh Hashanah, as well as all the Meir Perushim to this Mishnah, which is, Beyom HaRishon, they used to say, Lashem Aretz Umloa Tevel V'Yoshveva. The reason that they said this, because it connects to Masib Rishit, and so therefore, the creation of Shemayim V'Aretz took place on the first day, and therefore we reference the Tehillim that deals with that. B'Shini Omrim Gadol Hashem Umlam Od, Bir Lukeinu Har Kodesho. So over there, the second day where we read the Tehillim on Monday is Gadol Hashem Olam Hod, because Hashem divided between the Mayim HaElyonim and Mayim HaTachtonim. And then on the third day, at the Lukim Mitzvah B'dat Kel, B'Kel B'Mishpot, is that the land was created. So once the land was created, then there was the ability to have judgment and to have people on the land. And therefore, we say that B'Kel B'Lukim Mishpot. B'Viyayomrim, Kel Nekmot Hashem, Kel Nekmot Ophiyah. On the Wednesday, on the fourth day, they said, the Kel Nekmot Hashem, because that was the day the constellations were placed in the sky, and therefore Hashem should take revenge on those who worship the constellations instead of Hashem. B'chamishiyah umrim, on the fifth day they say, Ani Elokim Uzeinu, Ari Elokei Yaakov. So over there they talk either, the Rambam speaks over here about the fact that then on that day, the birds and the other things were created, and through the process of the Briah, a person sees the godless of Hashem, and he gives praise to Hashem. The Rosh, on the other hand, says that the birds go around, and they chirp, and they sing songs to Hashem, they sing the praise of Hashem. See how the Rambam would not subscribe to something like that as a rationalist, and therefore he believes that it's the humans that are singing the song because of the Briah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Shishiyah Yomrim, on Friday, like today, they said, Hashem Malach Ke'ut Avesh, that Hashem then was the king, meaning the completion of the Briah, man was created then. He has someone, first of all, who can coronate him and call him the Melech. And number two is he has subjects, so therefore he is now the king. Alav Yashav Kisei Kvodo. He went and sat on his Kisei HaKavod, because he completed the Briah. B'Shayat Yomrim, obviously on Shabbat, they said, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbat, Mizmor Shel Yom HaAtid Avo, Yom Shekulu Shabbat, Umnucha D'Chayi Olamim. Mizmor for Shabbat, the Mizmor of the Atid Davo, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as well as in other places, that when it comes to the future, the world runs in 6,000 years, the 7,000th year will be just like Shabbat. So too, Atid Davo, like we have Shabbat every seventh day, the 7,000th year of creation will also be a Yom Shabbat. But that will end, Masechet Tamid.